We're in the studio today with Craig and Clea from Song Sparrow Hall. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi. How long have you guys had Song Sparrow going?
We decided to build a concert hall in Salmon Arm right at the end of 2019. We started renovating literally right before the pandemic. We finished our renovations and we waited that out and then officially opened March 2022. So we're just past the 2-year mark.
So in some ways, the pandemic gave you some time to renovate.
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty tight schedule coming out of the gate. We were trying to open by, I think, May 2020. And so, yeah, we had a lot more time to really dial in on our ideas and figure things out. And we did do a couple of concerts in that time when, you know, the restrictions would maybe lift for a month or something and we'd squeeze something in. But in the concert world, everything is planned so far ahead. So we couldn't do too much of that. So it was sort of constantly tours getting booked and rebooked and all of that. So it was really that 50% restriction being lifted that we could really get rolling on it.
So let's just clarify, where is Song Sparrow?
Well, we're located just at the edge of downtown, and we like to think of ourselves as being part of the emerging arts district in Salmon Arm. So there's the art gallery at the top of the hill, and then as you come down the hill on Hudson, there's the Shoe Swap Theater, and then we're really just neighbors with the Shoe Swap Theater at the bottom of the hill. So we're on the corner of Hudson and Lakeshore Drive.
Right next to the Legion, I should add.
Yeah, well. That's right. Yeah. The Legion is also our neighbors. We're lucky to have some great neighbors.
Now, Craig, you're from town, right?
Yeah, I'm a fourth generation Salmon Armian on both sides. So I'm from here. I left after high school for college and then most of my career in audio and moved back in 2016.
And Clea, where are you from?
I'm from northern Alberta, or in Alberta, they would say it's just central, but I'm north of Edmonton is where I grew up. And then actually I went to college for music in Nelson, British Columbia, which is where I met Craig. And then we lived in Calgary together for 15 years and we had careers there as musicians. I'm a singer-songwriter. Craig's an audio engineer and producer. We had a studio there and we just generally worked with lots of different ways in the music industry. And then raising children, we decided to move back to the beautiful Shoe Swap. And we actually thought we were taking a break from the music industry. I went back to university. Craig is a property manager in Salmon Arm. And from there, kind of the stars aligned and we got the tap on the shoulder from the community to actually revisit a space that has been in Craig's family for multiple generations. But it was used as a church for 15 years. And then that was sort of phasing out. And it was an amazing opportunity to offer the space to the community as a house for all kinds of creative events and ideas. But given that we came from music background, we saw the potential for it to really be focused as a concert hall and performing arts space.
Craig, I recall having a conversation with you about the actual building that Clea was just mentioning, and I think you mentioned it was built in 1912, is that right? What's sort of the earlier history of that building?
That's half correct. So the building itself that exists currently was built in 1960 as a machine shop. But you're right, the history of it does go back to 1912. And it was my great-grandfather, William Nuins, who moved here originally from Wales. When he moved here, he was a blacksmith by trade. And he bought a kind of a rickety old wooden blacksmith building, which is on the actual site where the current building is. But that building was eventually torn down. And the company grew into what became Nuins Machine. And they built that as a machine shop and started to expand into the... It's hard to imagine now, given what downtown... how nicer downtown is, but that area was quite industrial for a long part of Salmon Arm's history. And so there was a paint shop and a fabrication shop, and they were building sawmill equipment by the end before they ultimately moved up to the industrial park. And then that area was converted into commercial buildings. So there's restaurants and offices and retail space and all that down there. But the original machine shop from 1960 still exists, and it's been renovated a couple times, like Clea mentioned, as it was a church in there for a while. And it's just a nice old building that we were able to put a bit of money into, and got a nice grant from Creative BC to help us with that and just turn it into a beautiful space for lots of different types of events.
What kind of renovations did you do to make it into the concert hall that it is today?
The most recent renovation we did was it was a big facelift, so it was all the things you do, new paint and new flooring and all that, but we did a pretty extensive new sound installation. So sound, theater lighting, lighting. We have a custom LED lighting installation in our ceiling. It's kind of a grid pattern ceiling the way the beams are. And so we had a company out of Victoria design this kind of interactive lighting system that sort of enhances our theater lighting. So those were kind of the big things. The way the church had it set up, the main building with the lobby and the bathrooms and the stage and all of that, we've kept that. We've just improved the look of the place. And with the Creative BC grant, we're also able to do really significant acoustic treatment. So the whole room is very balanced sound-wise, and it sounds good from every point in the room. And it can have full-on loud bands and DJs and everything in there, and there's nothing rattling and shaking and bouncing around. It sounds really good for music.
So Craig does all the sound stuff. Cleo, what do you do?
Well, I wear many hats. Probably the easiest way to describe myself is as a program manager. I basically oversee a lot of the scheduling that's happening, as well as a liaison within the community for community engagement with other groups, because we knew we weren't going to be able to just do everything ourselves. Really, kind of the strength of the space is we've developed it as a third space for other arts organizations to present their events there. So there's been a lot of relationship building and coordination with other groups who now have really developed some beautiful and successful concert series and other events. We have the Salmon Arm Folk Music Society has been putting on successful concerts there since we opened, as well as the Arts Council has been putting on events, and Acoustic Avenue, which is Ted Crouch, who actually really helped us right from the very beginning. He braved the pandemic with us and put on a whole series of events even during the pandemic that could only be accessed by filming prior to us having live concerts.
Celebrate Shoe Swap was filmed inside Song Sparrow, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a really amazing, what people like to call a pivot within the pandemic. Like Craig mentioned, we were attempting to open in the spring of 2020. And when that quite obviously couldn't happen due to restrictions, there were a lot of creative people in the community, as well as some grant funding for alternative arts events. And that was really a brainchild of Ted Crouch, who took us along on that journey, and he really engaged a lot of local musicians, and it was filmed live within the hall, and then it was created as a documentary so it could be viewed by people. But kind of the amazing piece to that was the way it gave some local Shoe Swap musicians an opportunity to perform and keep in touch with their craft at a time when most of us were, you know, wearing our sweatpants in the basement and, you know, maybe not performing and maybe feeling like pretty sad about the state of the music industry. So I feel like that was kind of a neat way to keep the community engaged with local musicians and for local musicians to have a chance to still do something relevant for their community.
You've also done a couple of other CDs. I think the Salmon Arm Arts Center put something together for WOW. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was also a pandemic project when Wednesday on the Wharf wasn't able to put out their regular series due to pandemic restrictions. And they had a really creative, wonderful idea in which they did a whole album, and they ran it similar to their series, but each artist got to record and then it was released each week. A track was released and then it went together as a whole album. So that was another great example of the way the community arts were being presented in a way that wasn't live music, and yet people were actively playing and performing. And I mean, we heard so much positive feedback during that time. So while we weren't officially open to the public, all this music was being made, and there were some concerts where there were not a dry eye. Like, for example, the high school music choir, it was their only performance that they were going to be able to do that year. And when they started to sing, I think everyone started to cry. So it's been an emotional thing. Like, I feel like I'm almost tearing up, like just to actually recognize, like, we didn't know when we were opening Song Sparrow, like, what we would be offering, but it was really a place for people to still participate with the arts despite the restrictions. And then when we came back with our live concerts, we saw then there were people that would come up to us and say, this is the first event I've attended since the pandemic, or this is the first time I've danced, or this is the first live music event that my child has ever attended because they're only four, or things like that. So we didn't know the pandemic was going to happen. It was definitely a challenge, but there was a lot of beauty in what we were offering, as well as the way the community really embraced the potential. And so, yeah, we just feel really lucky to have been here in that time and been connected with such great creative people in the community.
It must be really satisfying to look back and at what's happened so far, but also to be able to look ahead. For example, the new Salmon Arm community music group that started up in conjunction with Acorn Music.
Yeah, I've talked really briefly with Larry about that, but it's a really exciting thing that they're offering to the community, because they're going to be having a space where people can be taking lessons and learning all kinds of things locally. And for sure, like, we're all about collaboration when it connects like that. And in the past, we've engaged the school district where we've had a concert in the evening, and then the band actually put on a workshop for all the high school music kids in the entire district. We're bused to Songsboro Hall and they got to take part in a workshop. So those kinds of things were, like you're mentioning, Dave, a musician is potentially coming and could do maybe some artist residency work in the community. That's definitely a way that we could connect in. Another thing that we've thought of is offering potential internships for audio tech or songwriting. You know, we're happy to collaborate more with the music school as they get off the ground and get going. And I'm sure we can, we're really just down the street, so the location is fantastic. We're half a block away from them. So that creates a lot of opportunity for us to support the music school, and potentially they can do a recital there. I mean, the possibilities are really open there for sure.
So we talked about how the pandemic affected you. Did the fires last year cause you any problems as far as your events and things went?
Well, I mean, the fires definitely impacted the community as a whole. And I think for downtown businesses, especially a lot of restaurants and retail spaces that rely on tourism, that was a tough time. The festival running for one night and then being canceled. We don't obviously run concerts during the festival, but it affected everything that they were doing for the following year. So definitely affected some of the programming. I think maybe Roots and Blues did fewer concerts this year than they had hoped, because I think they had done something like 8 the previous year. So they recently started up again. They just had Sarah Harmer in and sold out show, and then a sold out show with Shred Kelly. So they're back up and running for their off season series, but that definitely affected the programming at the hall.
I remember Song Sparrow Hall was able to provide a space to allow Wednesday and the Wharf to actually go ahead during that time when there was a lot of smoke outside.
That was a show, and the Roots and Blues was, I think, sponsoring that show as well. And they had Levette Dunord from Quebec, and that was an amazing show. It was one of the best shows we've had. So that was definitely a real sort of coming together moment for the community.
Yeah, and that's something that we have been asked in terms of, like, how are the wildfires affecting us? What we notice now in the planning of events, we are seeing presenters who are planning outdoor events will be reaching out to us in advance if their event is going to fall within kind of a potential wildfire time. And sometimes, like in that case, they'd actually held our event as a backup venue, just knowing that that could be a possibility. So it was really easy to plug them in. But as this is a very generous community and we consider ourselves to be part of that, like, we are here as an indoor space that can, if an outdoor event has to pivot and move indoors, if we have it available, we definitely would accommodate that. I think we've also been impacted just in general as part of the larger tourism industry. Like, there's so many interconnected aspects of people making their decision making and their tourism plans about what kind of events and how they're going to participate with the shoe swap during the summertime. So some of the effects, I don't think we're feeling it as directly as other businesses may feel, but we're definitely noticing that it's a difficult time for all businesses involved in tourism. And even for local people who have been impacted by wildfires, like, may or may not have it on their minds to come out to concerts or support live music because they're dealing with survival. So it just impacts everyone, I think, and we're part of that.
It's interesting to see that despite the fact that basically you're a concert hall and you're not a nonprofit, you're a business, but you support the community because I don't think we've ever had a backup space like yours where we could just go if something happened. If WOW rains out, we can go to Song Sparrow, providing you have nothing else booked. So this is kind of interesting how this has come about. I mean, we do have other venues in town, but nothing downtown.
We definitely love where the hall is located and we feel part of that downtown community. So it is nice for the downtown to be able to bring this sort of general public down for an event and have it be, as Cleo was talking about, sort of a small arts district, kind of a destination for people within the community and the surrounding community. We get a lot of people coming to our events from Kamloops, Kelowna, Vernon, and the greater Shuswap area from the North Shore. And sometimes we'll see 30-40% of our audience coming from out of town. So I think that's just bringing a lot of people into downtown. But absolutely, for some of those free, I mean, WOW is a free event. And that's such a great thing for the community. I mean, we do encourage the presenters, whether we're presenting the show or another third party. I mean, we definitely encourage that the ticket prices are reasonable. I mean, we know a lot of big concerts are extremely expensive these days, so we try to aim for affordable for local concerts, but artists still have to get paid. There's a lot of expenses that go on with just paying artists and promoting a show. So those have to get covered. But anytime we can help offer a free event that just reaches anybody can come to it, that's definitely a good thing.
Just in terms of supporting the community, maybe it is part of the way we had a long startup and the pandemic gave us lots of time to think. But even prior to that, when we were considering jumping into this crazy idea, which has taken up a lot of our time, and we do put in a lot of unpaid hours as well as the ones that we're compensated for. But this space to us really is about, it was formed with the idea of giving back to the community. It's a place where our mandate is we bring people together in an ecologically minded creative space. And just the fact that I'm new to the Shuswap, Craig grew up here, we're raising our family here. We want to be participating in helping to create the kind of community where our children are growing up in, and we're learning all the time. When we had this idea, we actually reached out to other arts organizations and they were very generous with their time in helping us to understand the current arts ecosystem and the way things have been working up until this time. And what we've been told, actually probably one of the biggest compliments since we've started, is a presenter has told us that since we've created this space, they have had more collaboration together with the different arts organizations actually working together on events than they may have had prior to us having this kind of third space that everyone can access. So that was very heartwarming because Song Sparrow is really about a place where the whole community can feel welcome. If people have a great idea and collaboration is always encouraged, we really feel like we're offering something that's unique to the space in the location as well as what it is. And it's too good for us to just keep it for ourselves and do something kind of more closed-minded. Like it really is an offering back to the community, and the community has embraced it and been really imaginative. And our favorite events are the collaborative ones. And so with our rental fees, we do have a sliding scale where we have, you know, a lower fee for nonprofits and a higher fee for corporate events. And I feel like the businesses who rent the space at the corporate event, they're very understanding of knowing that the fee that they're paying is in fact helping to go back and support other arts or nonprofit events that maybe couldn't pay such a high fee. So it's been really interesting having those conversations too. And again, I think Sam and Arm in general is a very generous community, and we're just lucky to have a cool backyard for people to have parties in.
Song Sparrow Hall is known for its live music events, but there's also a very professional sound recording studio in there as well. Is that right?
So I have a background in music production and audio engineering, and so we used to have a studio back in Calgary, and we're recording a lot of albums as Clea mentioned, when we moved back here, took a little bit of a break from the music industry, and then we had the opportunity to develop Song Sparrow Hall. And, you know, I kind of always wanted to get back into producing and recording and mixing, and it's really my passion. And so we kind of had this sort of longer term idea of maybe we'll build a studio as part of the facility. And then when the pandemic happened and then dragged on, we thought, well, we can't run events, but maybe we can still record. So we sped that process up, and I hired an acoustic, world-renowned acoustic architect who designed a nice studio space, and I brought up a builder from North Vancouver and basically built an addition from the ground up. And it's a recording and mixing space. So there's a vocal booth and a proper mixing room, and everything is wired into the hall. So we actually use the hall as a flexible space for the recording side of it as well. So if we have a full band, they'll actually all set up in the hall, and we have cameras and video so people can see each other when everything's in headphones. And so it sort of operates like a big live room, like you'd have in a big studio facility like the Warehouse or Abbey Road or something like that. So, and then if we want something more intimate, we can use the vocal booth. And acoustically, it's an amazing space. And we have done a number of projects. I do quite a bit of mixing for clients out of Calgary and Vancouver, and we've had a few good projects recorded in there so far. It's an unusual space to have in a town this size. I mean, normally you'd have a studio like that in a large center. So it's something that we're hoping will actually attract out of town talent as well to come and record. And we've done some. We've had artists came out from Alberta two summers ago, and we've got some exciting ones coming from out of town upcoming. And of course, for just artists within the region as well, we're hoping that it's a space that people can come and record, and they maybe don't have to go to Toronto or Vancouver or LA or whatever. They can actually just do a world-class recording right here at home.
You mentioned Nelson, BC earlier, and we've heard that name of that town come up in some of our other conversations. What is it about Nelson that inspires people and allows them to take that inspiration elsewhere? Is Nelson kind of a hub for that kind of thing?
Yes. Well, what is there that attracted both of us is the music school through the college. So it's Selkirk College has a program with a really fancy name, the Contemporary Music Technology Program, or maybe it's the Contemporary Music and
technology
Program. So that's actually why Craig and I both went there, and we graduated in 2000. And what makes that music program very special is that it's basically in alignment with the Berkeley curriculum. And most of the professors, when we were there, had gone through the Berkeley program, and they use the same resources. And that program, you can actually, from those 2 years of college, you can transfer directly into the fourth and fifth year if you wanted to pursue the degree, the music degree in Berkeley. So while we didn't do that, you will find that a lot of musicians who want to go through that kind of study where it's a jazz focused in terms of music theory, but also very open to contemporary music styles. And it's a place where you can really be yourself as an artist. So that's what attracted us. And yeah, from there, we actually thought we might move back to the Kootenays one day. But once we graduated, we did move to Calgary so that we could really participate in the music industry on a deeper level. And we were active there as musicians in bands and doing the recording artist thing as well as the music production thing. But we've found, even when we were in Calgary, we would interact with musicians that had gone through that program. Like, for example, like Kaisa, who was just recently came through on the holiday train. We met her in Calgary when she was 17 years old, and she just recorded a demo. And actually, she recorded a demo with Craig. She came and recorded her first demo in our bungalow studio that we had in our garage. And then we recommended to her to go to that program because she was trying to find a music program. And so then she went out and did her training in music there. And then from there, she went on to Berkeley. And then she has become like an international recording artist. So that's not an uncommon story. Like, we've met other musicians in the community here that have gone through that program. So yeah, it's a really great music program, still going, still thriving, still churning out some really interesting musicians.
So have you put anything together that you've released out into the world together?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have that background as musicians. And as Cleo mentioned, she is a singer-songwriter. She's a great songwriter. We had a couple different studios in Calgary and we kind of elevated each time in the quality of the studio. And so I would always have a million projects and she was working with a bunch of the artists in a writing capacity and stuff and family, young family at the time. And so time was limited, but once in a while we'd be able to get a little grant or something. And then we'd sort of hunker down and record a project. We were kind of always demoing and working on stuff, time permitting. But Clea released an album in 2007 called Roller Skate under her own name, and then a series of EPs in 2011 under her own name as well. And we've been pretty focused on raising kids and various ventures like Song Sparrow Hall. But I think maybe at some point we'll put something new together.
Cool. Yeah. And you'll have to bring it to us.
Absolutely.
We have several albums worth of music.
Yeah, there's lots of songs in the bank. So we'll have to get those out.
Once we hire some staff.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about or tell us about Salmon Arm or your experiences that we haven't touched on?
It's an exciting time to be doing something like this in Salmon Arm. We're an up-and-coming community in the sort of arts and culture space, but we have the unique thing of we have, I think, the premier event of the interior, which is the Roots and Blues Festival. And we have maybe the world's largest treble clef, I'm not sure. So we're sort of building off that. You can see how sort of one thing leads to another. And if people just take a little chance on something, and our motto is small city, big ideas. And I think Salmon Arm has been about that for a long time. And I think that's just now spilling over into the arts and the, you know, the Arts Council, the Arts Gallery, they're always putting on incredible shows featuring local talent. And people are coming up with just lots of great ideas in sort of different media, and it's a pretty exciting time. And we just did a project with Roots and Blues. They got a grant from Music BC to bring in 5 artists from around the province, up and coming bands and singer songwriters. And we put together a film crew, and we recorded them basically live off the floor in the hall. So we used the studio, we used the hall space, and we did filming for 2 days. And then those videos are just being released. So it's a new series that they're putting out called Digital Currents, and so that can be found on YouTube. And so just an example of different organizations just coming up with new ideas for how to promote the arts in our community.
Yeah. And so I would just encourage anyone who maybe has been here for a long time or is maybe new to the community and feels like they want to be more connected with the arts, especially performing arts, to potentially check out our website and, you know, see what's coming up in terms of concerts, or you can get on our mailing list and find out what our events are happening. But also reach out to us if you feel like you maybe have skills as especially audio techs is something that this community is kind of lacking in, or if you feel like you really want to present an event that you think could do well in this community, but you have questions about how to go about doing that, you know, you can just reach out to us and we're happy to point you in the right direction or suggest other organizations to collaborate with. We really just do want everyone to know that our space is for the whole community, and that includes you. So maybe you have a special skill that you want to bring to us.
And how would they contact you?
Just check out our website. It's songsparrowhall.ca, and our email address is there. Our sign up for our mailing list is there. You can also look for us on our social media pages through Facebook and Instagram, Songsparrow Hall, and just be in touch.
Sounds good.
How do people purchase a ticket for events that happen at Songsparrow Hall?
The best way is to go to our website, so songsparrowhall.ca, and then if you click on the events page, it lists all of the events that are upcoming at the hall, whether it's an event that we're presenting or one presented by Roots and Blues or one of the other groups. They'll all be there in chronological order, and you can click on a big red button that says buy tickets, and that will take you to the actual ticket purchasing page. And it's just a couple of clicks away from having your tickets in your inbox. It's very simple. The tickets usually are in the $35 to $45 range, and there's very low fees on those tickets. So highly recommend that. songsparrowhall.ca/events.
Great.
Well, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate you guys stopping by and chatting with us and telling us all about Song Sparrow.
Yeah, thank you both. It's been great to be here.
It's been great having you. Thank you very much.